You know, we've been so focused on when Jesus is returning, right? And we look at the scriptures constantly of the signs of his return. And we go to places like Thessalonians and we go to the book of Revelation. And we're constantly looking for the signs of his return. But that is not the only sign. We look for the signs of his return, but what we forget is the sign he said of him now. And that is the sign, I think the most significant sign, that is lost and needs to be reclaimed by the church. And that is, Jesus tells us about this sign, and he says, this is the only sign you will find. In Luke 11, 28 to 30, he says, yes, says Jesus, but God will bless all who listen to the word of God and carefully obey everything they hear. As the crowd swelled even more, Jesus went on to say, how evil is this generation? For when you demand a mighty display of power, simply to prove who I am, you demonstrate your unbelief. And listen, the only sign given will be a repeat of the miracle of Jonah. Why is it, with all the signs we're looking at, when he returns, we miss the most important sign, now, here, and now? The miracle of the repeat of Jonah. And Jesus says, that's the sign you ought to be looking at. Because you and I do not know exactly when the Father will return. We get so caught up in, what are the signs? There's another sign. When there's work to be done now. And Jesus says, for the work to be done now, look to a repeat of the miracle of Jonah. For in the same way Jonah became a sign for the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be a sign to this generation. I believe strongly that this sign is his death, his resurrection, and his great commission. And it is a repeat of the miracle of Jonah, which includes a repeat of the miracle of us, now his bride, his church. Last week I taught about the belly of grace. I'm just going to go deeper in that, and I just want to unpack, I believe, one of the most misunderstood or misoverlooked prayers in the Bible, the prayer of Jonah. And I believe this prayer is a key to breakthrough. So turn with me to Jonah chapter 2, and I want to teach on the prayer of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Holy Spirit, invade us, correct us, convict us, empower us with this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along as I read. Inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God and said, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swelled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me. The deep surrounds me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Let's say that. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Amen. The prayer of Jonah. The great advances of evil on the earth today are not because of the sins of the world. They are because of the sins of the church. The great moral decline we see on the earth, the great perversions of truth, gender reassignments, attacks on the institution of marriage, advances in killing children in the womb and out of the womb, increases of drug overdoses, increases of suicide among young people, advances of Satan worship, gang violence, pornography, lies becoming truth, is not because of the sins of the world. They're because of the sins of the church. At the cross, Jesus took away the sins of the world. Defeating the sting of death, crushing the head of Satan. He declared, "It is finished." He stormed the gates of hell in victory. And Jesus said, "All authority is mine." The devil has no authority. Jesus sits now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. And Jesus says to his church, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And Jesus says to his church, "All authority has been given me, and now I give it to you. Now go in my name and make disciples of all nations." And Jesus says to his church, "My authority gives you full power of heaven to rule and reign on the earth once again. So church, you are my kings and priests. So I command you to go and make disciples of all nations," listen, "with this authority, baptizing all people in the name of the Father's authority." In other words, immersing all people in the Father's authority. And then he says, "Baptizing all people in the name of the Son. Immerse all people in the Son's authority." And then he says, "Baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. Immerse all people in the Holy Spirit's authority." This was not a suggestion. It was a command. Jesus didn't say one day, "Hey, church, you know, if you think about it, you know, if you, you know, maybe, I know you want to have another potluck, and that's fine, but hey, you think you might want to just fit in, going to all nations? You know, you can just fit it in a little bit. And if it's too much trouble, that's okay." He tells the church, "In my authority, you will cast out demons." This includes the evil demon attacking marriage, the evil demon attacking the sanctity of life, the evil demons redefining gender, the evil demons enticing drug and alcohol abuse, the evil demons lying, trying to turn lies into perverted truth. Jesus said, "You will raise the dead, you will heal the sick, you will set the captives free. Now go give me the nations, because I am not willing that any should perish." And he said, "You will do what I did. Not might do, not maybe do, but you will do." And yet, so much of the church does not. And its prayers are constantly, "Forgive them for their sins, Lord. Forgive them for their sins. Forgive them for the sins," when we should be travailing in prayer. "Forgive us for our sins." We don't realize how much authority and power we wield. Because the Father said, "I am not willing that any should perish." We're looking for the signs of the end, and we forget the sign of the now. A repeat of the miracle of Jonah. And here's the point. Like Jonah, running away from God's command. The church has run away from God's command. And when we run away from God's command, that is sin. That is why all the evil we see happening tonight is not because of the sins of the world, it's because of the sins of the church. Jesus prayed for the sins of the world. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." But here's the thing. The church knows what it's doing. Jesus paid the price for their sin, and he prayed for them because of their sin. And we spend a lot more time
Forgive them, Lord. Forgive him, Lord. Forgive her, Lord. Forgive him, Lord. Forgive her, Lord. And we forget the prayer of Jonah. The prayer that he's asking the church to pray. The only sign, Jesus said, you will find is a repeat of the miracle of Jonah. And it starts with Jonah himself, and it starts with us, his church, now. Like in the time of Jonah, the church is not doing its job. It's run away like Jonah ran away. It got too comfortable like Jonah got too comfortable. It dumbed down God's word like Jonah dumbed down God's word. It rejected God's power, ignored its presence. And its self-proclaimed decide who's in and who's not, who's worthy of saving and who's not. If it's too uncomfortable, let's go eat a meal. And you know where the church is right now in this country and so much of it? Not all the church. There's two good churches. There's five that he's got a problem with. You know where those five churches are right now? They're in the belly of the fish. He's not looking for us to ask the world to repent. He's looking for us to ask the church to repent and ask for forgiveness for not doing what his son did and even greater things, because his son went to the Father. He's so grieved, the Holy Spirit is so grieved that the church is struggling. I don't think I can do what Jesus did, when the whole point was to do even greater things because he went to the Father. See, doing the things Jesus did was like that's like breathing air. You're just going to be doing that. And what I want to partner with you in, the things that I want to get intimate with you, are the things that you've never seen done, hasn't even written about yet, that are done. It's the things that were the miracles beyond the book, when he said there were so many more signs, I suppose. If all the miracles Jesus did were written, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. And Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than that. Do we realize how much authority and power God's given his church? Jesus says to his church in Revelation 2:14, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin. So they ate food, sacrificed to idols, and they committed sexual immorality. There are churches, Jesus' churches, that are saying, well, the issue of abortion, you know. Well, you know. Somebody that's changed their gender can be a pastor. Jesus said to his church in Revelation 2:20, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality in the eating of food, sacrificed to idols. Jesus says to his church in Revelation 3:1, I know your deeds. You have a reputation being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains. It is about to die, for I've found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. Jesus says to his church, Revelation 3:17, you say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I'm not in need of anything. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. Jesus says to his church, the good news is you're in the belly of the fish. The bad news is called grace. The bad news is 3:16, in the belly of the fish called grace. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The prayer of Jonah is the prayer for the church. And I just feel so strongly that God is calling us to rise up in this prayer. We talk about the prayer of Jabez. Wonderful. Get wealthy. We live in a replacement theology of repentance. a replacement theology of repentance that we're calling everyone else to repent when God wants his church to repent. He's not comfortable with 2 out of 7. Why are we? We need to be in travailing prayer for the church to awaken. Prevailing prayer. The prayer of Jonah is that prayer. Because Jesus said, listen, church, listen. You're looking for the signs of the end. Wow, there's another sign. Oh, did you see that sign? When you're forgetting the most important sign, the repeat of the miracle of Jonah to do the work until he returns, because no one knows the day or the hour. But there's work to do before he comes, because he is not willing that any should perish. Look, he did say to pray for our enemies, and we should pray for our enemies. But the prayer of Jonah is a prayer that cries out in repentance as the church. Forgive us, the church, for being silent on abortion. Forgive us, the church, for not voting in the bowling box. Forgive us, the church, for allowing school superintendents to allow a perversion of fluidity of gender. Forgive us, the church. And we pray, forgive them for doing this. Forgive them for doing this. Forgive them for doing this. Jesus already prayed. Forgive them for their sins. They know not what they're doing. But here's the thing. We know what we're doing. And that is calls for repentance. The belly of grace includes his church. He's crying out. He's crying out. And every day we see another sign of closer to his return. He's crying out, the only sign, church, I want you to focus on is a repeat of the miracle of Jonah. Peter, when Jesus was about to leave, saw how much he loved John and said, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus says, don't you worry about him. You do what you're to do. You go do what you're to do. What is God calling us to do? The prayer of Jonah is the prayer of repentance. God has given his church to pray for the church. It's the travailing prayer, the prayer of Jonah. It is to get into the belly of grace with the churches that are lost and to cry with them in unity. When Jesus prayed, John 17, that they would be one as you and I are one, that means in their sin, come alongside them and pray with them in unity for God to raise them up. Not to be on the sideline, I got to pray for that one. Got to pray for that church. That they would be one as we are one. What would you do if it was your physical brother that was dying, your son that was struggling? You'd go to them. You would come alongside them. You would pray desperately, even if they were sinning, God, to rescue them. This is the prayer of Jonah. And he's waiting for the travailing prayer of the prayer of Jonah until the church once again is back on the battlefield, not some of the church, but all of the church, so the world will know that God loves them and that he sent his son. That's what Jesus prayed. And here's the thing, loved ones. God's quarrel is not with the world. It never has been. God's quarrel is with the lies and the deceptions that so easily entangle the world. The evilest person, the one that's tatted with so many demonic images, he doesn't have a quarrel with that person. He loves that person. He has a quarrel with the lies and the deception that has caused him or her to go so far from him. And this is what he hates. This is the only thing God's hate. It was told in Genesis chapter 3. He said, to the serpent. He was looking at Satan and he said, Satan, I will put enmity between you and her. Enmity is the full hatred, the full wrath of God. And the full hatred and the full wrath of God is Jesus. And the full hatred and the full wrath of God is in us towards the same one he hates, the devil and his demons. The prayer of Jonah is the prayer the church must pray to repent. We're seeing tens of thousands of believers repenting, but and they're breaking ranks from their communities and their congregations to repent. And it's like we're going around the churches, we're going around its pastors, we're going around all these people. But this is his bride. He wants all of it, not some of it. And I believe what God wants more than anything is when he returns and he settles the score forever, what God wants is the church to have been so successful that in the lake of fire where the demons and the devil is, that Jesus can stand in front of him and say, you got no one. That's what he wants. Where is the church? The prayer of Jonah is what we must be praying. I just want to close tonight and unpack this prayer. And I want to challenge us as a church to engage in the prayer of Jonah, to come alongside in travailing prayer for the church, the mightiest weapon in the universe, the most powerful light has been given to this thing called the church, which is to be the bride. It begins for the church to repent for ignoring God's presence. This, look, Jonah describes, he's in the belly and he realizes how far he's gone from God. And he says, in my distress, first of all, he recognized from the inside the fish, Jonah prayed, he recognized he's in the fish. He recognizes where he is. And this is what the church must recognize where it is. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depth and the realm of the dead, I cried for help, and you listened to me. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the current surrounded me. He's saying, look, all the waves have broken over me. Look, I've been banished from your sight. Look, yet I will look to you again. He's acknowledging, look, I have forgotten about your very manifest presence. I've gone so far away from your presence. He's repenting from not being in the presence of God. You know the story of Billy Graham saying 80% of the churches, if the Holy Spirit were leave, would never know. Oh, there is a remnant. I'm believing we're one of those remnants here. But he's calling us, that remnant, to pray for the other five churches that Jesus is crying out to. Jonah repented for not acknowledging and honoring God's presence. We need to ask God to forgive. Stop asking God to forgive all the evil in the world and start asking him to forgive his church for allowing the evil to spread. Why? Because he's forgotten. The church has forgotten when we gather. It's all about his presence. It's all about him. It's all about him. They say the number one reason people come to church is for the message. Messages are good. Sermons are good. That really grieves me, and I believe it grieves Daddy. The number one reason why we gather like this is to be in his presence together, because he says when two or more are gathered, I am there. He says that's the center of what happens when we gather, is to be with him together. The prayer of Jonah continues. Church must repent for ignoring God's purpose. Jonah 2, 5 and 6, he acknowledges this in this prayer. He says, the engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed has wrapped around my head.
to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever, but you, O Lord, my God, brought up my life from the pit. He said, look, I have let our purpose become about us in community versus invading communities. I've got so many seaweed of lies wrapped around the purpose of the church in my head. I'm more worried about the fear of man than I am about the fear of God. We've sunk down to the earth, no longer operating from heaven's realm to release it on the earth, which was what the intent was all along. And the church has got seaweed wrapped around it. These imageries are part of the travailing prayer. We need to see God is giving images for travailing prayer of that Jonah represents. He's the surrogate for the state of the church. And as you read his prayer, it gives you prayer points to pray for the church. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking we know the day of God's return, and we've settled into that focus and not the focus of the repeat of the miracle of Jonah. Looking at the day of his return is to just give us more fervor of the sense of urgency. That's it. And to focus. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to figure out your plans. I believe with all my heart that's why, because of some prayers of remnant in this country, why we have the president we do. It wasn't time yet for this nation to be destroyed. The prayer of Jonah is a prayer to repent for ignoring God's power. Jonah 2:8, he cites it. He says, I've clung to worthless idols. I've turned away from your love. And he's saying, look, I've made it more about the worthless idols of perfected music and beautiful locations of worship and cool coffee bars. And I've made it more about all those things. There's nothing wrong with those things if it's not about those things. I'm not saying that, but the churches have become places of idols. God, forgive us for turning the power of idols to advance your kingdom. We relied on the baptism of man's power versus the baptism of God's power and the Holy Spirit. Making the churches like resorts, country club memberships, so comfortable. Looking to the power of man to grow our churches, to reach more people. What baptism you're baptized in will determine how strong your voice is. And we live in a time where we've replaced the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the baptism of man in the church. Immersed with what man thinks, with what man wants, with what man feels, what man's comfortable with, versus being immersed in the power of God. Repent for the fear of man. Repent for letting the voice of lies be stronger than our voice. The church is a light under a bushel because it's inside the belly of a fish. Trying to be light. Never outside the walls, very rarely. When we see our kids getting attacked and doing nothing, when we see babies getting killed and doing nothing, when we see adults take their life and do nothing, we see our nation going to hell and think it's okay to keep doing the same thing when we can't talk about politics or we can't talk about these various mountains or somebody will leave the church. The fear of man is more important than the fear of God. And we need to repent. We need to repent. Loved ones, it's time to pray the prayer of Jonah. It's time for us to pray this prayer. It's time for us to rise up and pray for our brothers and sisters, because when we need a holy vomiting of the church back on dry land,
We need God to vomit the church back up on dry land. And God is calling the two churches that he's pleased with to pray for the other five that he's not. Have you ever thought of that? That is the prayer of Jonah. That's the prayer we're to pray. We're to look into the spirit realm. And everything Jonah prayed is a repeat of the miracle of Jonah. It's Jesus saying, church, hello, wake up. What I'm wanting you to pray is for so much of my church that I've told what to do and they've walked the other way. And now they're in the belly of a fish. Let's stand. I love you and I know God loves us. And I just feel this message was a strong message. And I just feel because this is a place that can handle it. This is a place that is called to pray in the other five churches. And we have our challenges here, but this is something he's wanting us to pray. Look, Jonah 2:9, he ended, he said, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Let's say that together. What I have vowed, I will make good. I want us to worship, and as we do in this time, I want us to lift up our voices and pray for the Big C Church all over this place. Pray for our brothers and sisters far and wide. There is a breakthrough happening. There is a reconnecting happening. We are in the middle of that here in this congregation, and you are a part of that. We are being called out to go get them. Bring them back. Bring his bride back. Let's pray for his church. Let's give back to God in this way. I just want to take a few minutes as we worship and you pray for the church. Groups and pray right now all over this place, just in small, just circle up and pray. I just really feel the Lord wants us to press in together in small groups, just five or six of you, and pray for his Big C Church. Every one of you has a prayer that God is listening, and there's going to be breakthrough for his Big C Church. Perhaps it's the church that you go to in the mornings. Perhaps it's somebody you know. That's why you're here. Let's pray all over this place for the church.
I'm empty and in need. Long for a river that flows. Fill my empty space. Be my one and all. Be my one and only. Desperate for the fire. Thank you.
sweet aroma to his ears. He's weeping with joy. We're praying the right thing. And God says, I'm so proud of you, my children. I'm so proud of you for praying for your brothers and sisters all over this world. I long for them to come back. I long for them to be in the garden with me once again. I'm crying out to them. My church must become my bride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's circle. Let's get back. Don't go yet. We have a few more things to do. Very important. Father, we thank you as a body for the great privilege to pray the prayer of Jonah. We thank you that you have commissioned us. I believe we've all been commissioned in this place to pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah.